Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 24 says, "So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as they could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped." Like that image? There's dead bodies lying everywhere. It's a great way to open it up, isn't it? Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, thank you for this moment. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your house under your roof, God, into your presence, to get to know you more, to get to know your word more. God, I just pray that this message flows through me the way you intend it to, and that you take me out of it, you take the impurities out of my mind, you take the impurities out of my heart, and God, let everything that you want to be said this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, so we have kind of been in this message series this year. It's a series of series. Is that correct? Series of series, series of series, apostrophe, I don't know. It's the theme has been ready to, right? It's been ready to climb, ready to heal, ready to go, I think we just came off of. And right now we're kind of doing this thing for the rest of the summer, as far as I know, that we're just gonna kind of do little sermons here and there. But for this sermon, I'm gonna title it Ready To. And so the actual name is Ready To, wait. It's simple, right? Ready to wait. What does that mean? We're gonna dig into that today. We've kind of been in this season of waiting. Right now we're kind of on the back side of that, and we're starting to see things open up a little bit more. But really for the past year, we've just been kind of waiting, right? Been waiting to see what happens with finances. We've been waiting to see what happens when's the next, whatever that government, the stimulus check. Waiting on all these things to happen, waiting on a recovery period, waiting on knowing. There's just a lot of uncertainty that we've been waiting on. And I want us today to ask ourselves a question. What are you waiting on specifically? I want you to think about that for a moment. Just what are you specifically waiting on? Is it financial gain? Is it to see hard work that you've been doing recently in your job? Are you waiting to see that payoff? What is a victory that you're waiting on? Is there something you're fearful of? What are you waiting on? What is that thing? We're going to address some of the things this morning on how to see the victory in that. What we can do, because it's ultimately all up to God. What can we do in this season of waiting? What are some things? So here are some things. It is fear, maybe. Fear, seek, worship, wait. Or, as I would say, I'm going to get into 2 Chronicles this morning. This is about King Jehoshaphat of Judah. The armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. And what I want us to pay attention to in this scripture that I'm about to read is those key words, fear and seek. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 through 4 of the King James Version says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they all came to what? Seek the Lord." What's that first underlined word? Feared. So one might say, yeah, so Jehoshaphat has this situation where these armies have come to attack him. They want to erase Judah. And so they're coming to attack him. And you might think, yeah, it says he feared. Wouldn't you be fearful too? That this army is like, yo, we're going to come kill you. I would be a little fearful too. And scripture later on in this message, you'll see the scripture even says it's a mighty army. So he's got to be fearful. But we also get this sense that I'll explain later on in this message as well, that it's not just fearful of the army. He has the fear of God in him. You ever been in a situation where you're in trouble and somebody's like, I'm going to beat the fear of God into you? We're gonna kind of go over what that is. So these, up in the beginning here, it's fear and seek. So Jehoshaphat feared his enemies, but he feared the Lord because he understood that the power of God is so much greater than any enemy he could ever face. So it seems logical to, yes, you're going to fear for your life over these people, but if you have the fear of God in you, you understand that God ultimately has the final say and that God ultimately has more power over whatever you're fearing, whatever that situation is, whatever you're fearful of. I'm going to kind of describe fear because that's fear is what we're going to focus on here for a moment. There are a lot of scriptures that explain what fear is, like so many. I'm just going to kind of hit on a couple of these. The Bible says in many different parts where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. It is the fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. There is strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. It is clean. It is enduring forever. And then Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the ultimate understanding that God is God. He's the creator of all things. He knows all things. It is knowing that he hears all things. He knows all things. He knows every step we're about to take. He knows every part of our life. There's not a thought we have that he doesn't know. Right? Raise your hand if you're like, oh, I got some bad thoughts sometimes. I wonder if God hears them. Yes. He hears everything, every impurity in your mind. But he also hears all of the worshipful thoughts. He hears everything. And the fear of the Lord is understanding that he has the final say. He has the final judgment, right? It's understanding that he is God. He is almighty over everything. Second thing that they do is they seek. What are some things we can do to seek? We pray, we worship, right? Back to verse 4, it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And what I love about this is that they are in need of this extraordinary miracle. They're in need of deliverance from this attack that they're about to face. It's an extraordinary miracle, and what do? They seek God in an extraordinary way. What they do is Jehoshaphat declares a fast over all of Judah. What does fasting do? It separates all of the distractions. It separates all of the impurities. It strips everything away to where they can fully, fully get to know God. They're getting rid of everything so that they can focus on God. They're fasting these foods, fasting whatever else they're fasting. They're getting to know God. They're seeking him in the best way that they know. They come together, they fast, they pray. And what happens when they pray here in verse 5 is it says, Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. This part right here, this prayer, it shows his fear of God because he's addressing God first as you are the God Almighty. You are the God who lives in heaven. And then he starts saying, you did all these great things. You've delivered us from this. You gave this land to our ancestors. You did all these things. He understands the fear of God. He has the fear of God in him. And then in verse 10, it says, "And now we see the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance." And then verse 12 is my favorite. It says, "Oh God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army." This is where the Bible says it's mighty. Powerless against this mighty army. It's funny because God, they recognize that it's a mighty army. They don't just diminish the power of it. They recognize that it's a mighty army. But it says, "This mighty army that is about to attack us, we do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." They're seeking the Lord. When you don't know what else to do, what do? You seek the Lord. When there's nothing left for you to, when you feel defeated, when you feel like there's absolutely nothing, every time I read this, I get something else out of it, something more profound. Because what they've already done is they've already fasted. He's already sought out all the people of Judah and declared a fast, and he still says, "We do not know what to do." How many of you have been in that situation where you feel like you've done everything that you can, and you just feel like you don't know what to do now? You look to God. "We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." And then, get this. While they're praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man who was standing there. The Spirit of the Lord just changes everything. Because that's when this really starts to take off. The Spirit of the Lord gets involved. The Spirit of the Lord comes right down onto this man. Out of everybody there, it comes down on this man and says, this man flowing in the Spirit says, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Can we get an amen for that? Amen. The battle is not yours, but God's. You may be in the battle. You may be a part of the battle, but it's not your battle. You may think it's your battle. You may think because the enemy called you out and has your name that it's your battle, but it's not your battle. Because guess who else has your name? Jesus Christ. Amen. "Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But get this, you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still or wait and watch the Lord's victory." Doesn't that build confidence there? "He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow." Go out. We just came off of a series called Ready to Go, right? Go out against them, but stand still. Oftentimes we get to a point of waiting, and we're just waiting, and we think that it's not progressive. But in this case, it's a progressive thing to wait on the Lord. Because even though you're waiting, God's doing something great. He commands them to go out. He didn't say, "Just chill right here at the temple." He didn't say, "You don't need to fight in any way, shape, or form." He didn't say, "Just go home, you know, chill on the couch, watch some TV." He said, "Go out against them. Prepare the army. Get everything prepared. Get your men together. Go out and face them. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord God is with you. Then," this is where it gets awesome, "the king Then King Jehoshaphat and all the other people bowed down and worshiped God as some of the people stood up. They bowed down. The king bowed down. The ultimate power over the humans, right? Human power. The king bowed down and worshiped God. But then some of the people stood up to praise God with a very loud shout. Very loud shout. How awesome. Listen, I know sometimes we don't get very loud and we'll sit here and be quiet. But when there is a victory on the line and God says that the victory is not yours but God's, when he delivers you, he's saying you will be delivered. This battle is not yours, it is God's. Amen. Wouldn't you get excited about that? Wouldn't you want to shout out about that? Yeah. Listen, did it not get loud when the Israelites marched around Jericho, blasting trumpets, blasting their instruments? Did it not get loud when the walls crashed down? Right. Wouldn't that be loud if an entire city wall crashes down? It gets loud sometimes when the Spirit is involved and there is a victory. It gets a little loud. When we're singing up here, when we're praising God and we're singing as loud as we can go, it gets loud. Michael is a very loud drummer. We got him a cage. But listen, it gets loud when you really are praising Jesus. Don't be afraid to get loud in worship. I love the song choices this morning. How the first song, Raise a Hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies. This is how we fight. This is how we fight our battles. We fear God, we worship God, and we get loud, yeah. Right? We don't win the battles by picking up a sword. That's right. We win it by taking up a cross. We win it by raising our voice, worshiping. They all fell down and worshiped God before the battle. Before the battle. They didn't sit around and wait and be like, all right, God, do your thing, and then we'll worship you. They're worshiping before the battle even takes place. Isn't that amazing? They prepared for the Lord's victory by worshiping him and honoring his command to go out. But wait, there's more. We're going to move on to waiting. In verse 20, it says, early the next morning, the army of Judah... Read that again. Early the next morning. Quick to it. Quick to the battle. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. So they begin to wait. They're marching out. What is waiting? What does waiting do for us? Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. In verse 21, it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. Who goes first? The singers. How about that? You have a battle to face. You got people with armor, spears, axes, whatever they had to fight with. And you're like, hey, you, can you sing? You go first. I wouldn't want to go first. I'm a singer. I'd be shaking in my boots or sandals or whatever they're wearing. Imagine sitting there and you're just like, first of all, you're just like you're a warrior, but you're a singer, and he's like, hey, you. Like, how would you feel about him just being like, you can sing. Go ahead and go out in front of everybody else and fight. He points the singers to walk ahead of the army. This is what they sang. Have you seen movies where there's a fight about to happen? Like, I think of like the movie Patriot, where they're like marching, and they're beating the snare drum and they're rolling that snare, and the idea of marching with the musicians in front is you're sending out this like warning, like, yo, we're coming and we're gonna beat you. So they're doing this, but these guys are just like, they're singing, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Like, I don't know if that's actually how they sing it, but that's what they're singing. So imagine you got this whole army and these dudes up here just singing, like, give thanks to the Lord. But this is what's great, is at the very moment that they began to sing and give praise, this is verse 22, it says, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. How crazy is that? These armies have marched for miles together. They're meeting up. They're about to beat these guys. These dudes start singing about Jesus, and suddenly the army's fighting each other. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies to start fighting among themselves. Verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. What? Did one dude like step on another dude's foot and get upset? No. God caused this confusion where they start fighting each other. And what's awesome about this is that, like, it's the moment where God steps in. These armies of, like, darkness, as you might kind of envision, these evil armies, the enemy, are coming up, and it's darkness. And then God interrupts, and it becomes confusing, it becomes chaotic, and they start killing each other. John 1:5 says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It cannot comprehend it. It's confusing when the light of God shines into a dark situation. The dark has nowhere to go. These guys are in a valley. They have nowhere to go. They just start fighting each other. Isn't that crazy? All it took was praising God, and the enemy was confused. They started singing. Give thanks to the Lord. And then boom, everybody starts killing each other. Now, I like to imagine being a part of the army and coming up over the top of the hill and seeing these dudes fighting each other. And these guys over here are singing. And I'm just like eating my popcorn, watching the fight. For some of you, the battle might be like super gory and you're like, ugh. Me, myself, I'd be like, bro, this is awesome. Pastor Justin would probably just chill up there watching it too. But that's not what happens. What happens is the armies are fighting each other and killing each other, and they're all dead before Judah even arrives. They're sent out to go, and then the king sends worshipers ahead before they even get there. The army is defeated. They literally didn't even have to see it. What they did see was the Lord's victory. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Not a single one. So then you might ask, well, what happens after that? Like, they just show up and they're like, oh, well, battle's over. They go home. they have a reward to collect. I'm going to give this quick story. So I have this like Starbucks gift card, okay? And if you know me, I'm a coffee freak. Like, I'm pretty sure if I died, my body would still be running around for a couple days off the caffeine, honestly. So people get me coffee gift cards. But the problem with the Starbucks coffee gift card is there really aren't many around. Like, there's one in Oxford, but during, most of the year there's college kids over there and just kind of avoid them. But my girlfriend and I are oftentimes in Richmond once a week, once every couple weeks. We're always there, and there's a Starbucks there, okay? And so whenever we're there, I'm like, okay, I'm finally going to use the Starbucks gift card. Finally going to go there. And then we get to it, like, the line is a mile long. So then it's always like, okay, well, maybe next time I'll get that venti, fake, vanilla, weird coffee. And it's always this game, honestly. It turns into a game where it's like, okay, next time, nah, that line's too long, I'll skip it. Next time. Next time comes, line's too long again. It's always long. Next time. Nope. See, what I don't understand is that if I would just go to the line and wait, I would get my overpriced venti coffee. I would get to enjoy that, or maybe not, who knows. But I would get to use that gift card. And so I'm just holding on to this gift card for a prolonged amount of time because I've decided I'm just going to skip out on it. I'm not going to go wait in the line. So I don't get my reward, right? I don't get to go there and see the fruits of waiting. That's not the case here with Judah. They didn't just say, oh, God's got this. After God steps in and says, I got this. They're not like, oh, yeah, he's got this. We'll just chill here. He commands them to go. Take their position, stand firm. They start praising. They took a step of faith, waited, and worshiped. And here is the reward. Verse 25 says, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder, to gather all the leftovers of the battle. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables. Get this, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder, in fact, that it took them 3 days to collect it all. Their reward for waiting on Jesus, waiting on the Lord, their reward for doing what the Lord commanded, what the Holy Spirit spoke through this man, their reward for simply seeking, they feared God, they sought God, they worshiped God, they waited. And their reward was that they got to not only see the victory, but they got to go into where the fight happened and take all of the stuff. They were expecting, before God intervened with this whole thing, they were expecting to go into the battle and get killed. What they had no idea is that once God got involved and they obeyed his commands, that they would receive more than they could carry. More than they could fathom. They had no idea they were even going to win, and they end up walking away with more than they can carry. In fact, it took 3 days to gather it all. 3 whole days. On the 4th day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Verse 27 says, then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them the victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets. They proceeded to the temple of the Lord with all of the stuff that they had taken and carried. they get this reward, and what do? They go straight back to the temple. Not only did they just like walk straight back to the temple, they marched with excitement. Trumpets, harps, lyres, they are worshiping still. The worship doesn't just stop at the battle line. We're to praise God for the victory. Don't stop worshiping and praising just because the battle is over. It's time to praise God. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given them rest on every side. So we're back to the fear of God. Under the fear of God, they experience peace. When we're fearing God, when we understand that God has the final say, we can be filled with peace. We can be filled with confidence. We can be filled with the understanding that no matter what we are facing, God is greater. So back on that question I asked you to ask yourself, what are you facing? What is something that you need God to intervene with? What are you waiting on God for? If you would stand. If every head could bow, every eye close, I want you to